So, you know, whatever it is, like everybody has their thing, and all you have to do is perfect that thing, and you're like a superhero.
Like my Airtable skills.
Totally.
If we could do a superhero movie about my building Airtables, I think that would be awesome. Would you watch it, right?
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question: will you see it?
Ted Willett, it is episode 170. How are you, my friend?
I know, we're approaching. We're approaching 200.
Dude, that's like a year and a half
in a
at
year,
this rate.
No,
man.
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, doing well. Had a busy week.
Oh, did I do it again? I said I'm good.
You're well.
Instead of well, I'm supposed to be well.
That's all right. We'll have to fix that in post.
Leave it in. Leave my bad grammar in. What were you doing this busy week?
You know, week five of school, and I'm in the throes of it all. I mean, I think all the honeymoon, the kids coming back to school, it's like, okay, you know, like, it was fun for the week. Now I'm back into my bad behavior.
Oh, okay.
And there's this thing called deviant licks. Have you heard of it?
I read some principal notes today saying, please don't participate in this TikTok challenge of stealing sanitizer from school.
Bathroom stuff. They're stealing mirrors. We've had people ripping sinks off of walls.
Oh, man.
One kid was kicking the toilet so hard until it finally broke off its moorings, you know? So,
oh,
like,
my God.
Like, the hole was visible. And
Yeah.
Kids are just stupid. I mean, I hate to say it, but, like, they're stupid.
What? But I don't understand. We were stupid, too, right? Like,
yeah, but here's the thing, Ted. I don't go to the Sahara Desert, pour out all my water, and then a minute later go, damn, I'm thirsty. They messed the bathrooms up so much so that they closed the bathrooms and they can't use them anymore. And then all these kids are like pissed off that they have nowhere to go pee.
Well, don't you think it's like a small percentage? Don't you think it's like...
It probably is.
Even if it's on the high end, 20%.
Oh, I was going to say way lower.
Or it's probably less, probably like 5%.
I would say out of 1,200 kids, it might be 5 kids.
Yeah. And now, so the kids that are pissed off aren't those 5 kids.
No,
it's
I get it.
The other kids that are pissed
it.
Off, you know.
But I'm just like, what is the point, man? Oh, deviant licks TikTok.
And do they record themselves doing it, though?
I don't know. You know, if there's one thing I could say I agree with Trump on, it's get rid of TikTok. You know, I don't these stupid, crazy Chinese social media things. Anyway, man, I'm...
You need a beer.
You know, all this talk of deviant licks, I'm thirsty. What do you have?
All right. So tonight I have Chapman Crafted.
Chapman.
Chapman, like Chapman University, you know, like Orange County.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Old Town Block Party 5th Anniversary Celebration. It's double dry hopped, double IPA.
Double dry hopped, double IPA. Nice. I'm looking forward to what your notes are. What's the ABV?
Oh, that's a good question.
Uh-oh, I got him. I stumped him.
Oh, it's clear. Yay.
Oh, it's not a hazy.
Okay, the ABV is 9.2.
Oh, you rocked it.
And the UBI is 88.
Ooh, a bitter.
It's got Citra Sapphire. Sapphire? Is that how you say that?
Sapphire?
S-A-P-H-I-R.
S-A-P-H Sapphire?
Sapphire? Okay.
Yeah.
Citra Sapphire. Sapphire? No, I don't think so. Anyway, I thought Sapphire would have an E on the end. I'm going to say it like the rapper, Sapphire. Okay. Citra, Sapphire, Simcoe.
Oh, there's no E on the end. I don't know.
Right.
Whatever.
Idaho 7 and Laurel. Laurel?
Laurel.
Laurel?
I don't know.
Laurel. Okay. Anyway, let's get some tasting.
So I have Liquid Gravity Brewing Company.
Okay.
Strange Trip. It has like a Grateful Dead type thing on it. And it's got that tie-dye-ish look to it. 6.6 on the Richter scale.
Okay.
One pint. It says, join us on this strange trip with this collaboration West Coast IPA brewed with Matt Cross Music. Okay, I'm not going to read any more. The only reason I read that, though, is I looked up Matt Cross Music on YouTube and all this stuff. You figure if the guy's a big, he's going to be somewhere. I can't find Matt Cross Music for anywhere. I think it's a farce. Okay. It is made with Simcoe, Citra, and Mosaic hops.
Oh, nice. I love those hops.
All right.
Nice.
Let's pour this and I'll give you some tasting notes. Oh, wow. It's like, it might be a hazy. I didn't think so.
Look how clear mine is.
Oh, my goodness. Yours is clean, you man. See, those are the kind of beers I like. It's not super hazy, but it's got that like lemonade look to it. Like almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that like yellowy look. Like urine.
Don't. I mean, come on.
Well,
this is like.
Although that could be urine, too, I guess. I guess beer in
this
general.
This is like your dehydrated urine, you know, like.
That's what your pee looks like tomorrow morning. Yeah, this looks like. No, this ain't your. I don't know. This is like lemon. I don't know.
It's too much head on that right there.
Yeah, I poured a little bit too vigorous. I poured it too vigorous. So yeah, you know, other than the busy work week and the TikTok nonsense, I would say this week has been a continuation of priors. So I'm still doing the bathroom remodel. That's 60% done, 70% done. I'm chugging along on it, so I'm making headway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The garden is still producing.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean,
farmer Jim.
Trying to do the farm stuff, and you know, I've been getting all these books. I pre-ordered a bunch of books that, like, I don't remember when, April, June, February, on things I wanted to read to support organizations and people that authors and stuff that I like.
Right.
And it's like now all these books are being released and they're just like daily books are flowing. I'm like, oh my God, I have a year's worth of reading to do, you know, like for some reason.
Homework.
Yeah. September must be book release month or something.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into all these books, but it's just like, geez, all these books. But you know, other than that, like I said, it's been a fairly redundant week. Let's put it that way. I've had many a week much like this.
Okay.
And the much like this seems to be continuing. I feel like it's Groundhog Day here. Oh man. Oh, that's good.
It's good.
That is clean.
Uh huh.
It's mildly citrus.
Okay.
It's really mild on the bitter. It's almost sweet in a sense. Wow. That is a good IPA. I really enjoy that. It's refreshing. You know what this IPA would be great with? Or not with, but like the scenario situation you might find yourself in,
uh-huh,
is like a super hot day.
Okay.
Doing lots of yard work. And when you're done, you want something refreshing, quench your thirst, crisp, clean. Awesome. It's really good, man.
Good.
Yeah. How about you? How's your beer?
Mine is well balanced for the hops that are in it. The Simcoe seems to kind of come to the top, but I can't tell whether it's that or what's one of these other. You know, Simcoe and Citra are ones that I know of and I can pretty much pick out a little bit. So it definitely tastes more like Simcoe. I'm sure it could be parts of the others, but it has kind of a piney forward taste to it. And then it's well balanced throughout. So
yeah, and you said Simcoe?
Again, one of these beers that's going to get better. Yeah.
What were all the hops?
Okay, so the hops are all Citra, Saphir, Simcoe, Idaho 7, and Laurel.
Oh, wow, a lot of hops in there. A
lot of hops.
I wonder what the hop schedule is, like how they did it.
And guess what? It pairs with birthday cake, party hats, and balloons. That's what it says.
I guess it depends on what kind of birthday cake. Is it like chocolate or is it red velvet? You know, I guess that depends.
Yeah. It's like a lemon cake, I think.
Oh, there you go.
A vanilla or lemon cake.
Yeah, there you go. How about you? How's your week? I mean, I know you got the principal note that says, you know, don't steal the soap.
Please don't participate in this TikTok challenge. Yeah, so this week has been good. You know, status quo in work, working from home and trying to build better processes across the board.
Are you still doing what's it called?
Airtable.
Airtable. You're still doing that.
Yeah. So we had everybody, do you guys write self reviews for your work?
Like, do I review myself?
Yeah, at the end of the year.
Yeah, I give myself glowing review.
So every...
No, I don't do that.
You don't do that? Well, it's a big corporate thing. Oh, okay. In corporate America. Okay. They love, oh, you know, it's review time. You review yourself and...
And see if it jives with what I have to say.
And write about what... write up what you've been doing this past year, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're coming to the end of fiscal year. It ends, the end of this month.
Oh, okay.
And so our fiscal year starts October 1st. So we have to, like, write this self-review. So
leave it to me. I'm the greatest school psychologist on the planet, you know?
So I just started writing, and I was like, what am I going to write about? And I just started writing about Airtable and stuff. And I was like, oh, man. So much. 3 pages later, I'm like, oh, man, I got a lot to say about Airtable.
No, you're like, 3 pages later, you just slammed the laptop lid, nailed it.
So that was this week. I was glad to get that out of the way. I've been trying to do it been asked to do it like a month ago, so it's good to get it.
So then when they say areas you can improve on, procrastination.
And then what else happened this week? So this week I'm wearing the legend of Taylor Heinicke.
Oh, yeah. Hey, the Washington football team, man, they're going.
Washington football team. They won last night in the craziest, you know, ending possible. Thank God for offsides to turn the missed field goal into a made field goal with no time
left.
There
you go. So, yeah, Chicago Bear football is started off just as planned. Get destroyed by the LA Rams, and we'll see what happens week two.
When is Fields coming in?
I don't know, but I want him to. We need him. I mean,
I think we'll see him this week.
Big Red, man, he didn't do it for us last week.
No,
Big Red, he did not do well. So I think we got to bring in Fields. I mean, heck, you know, you finally get a good quarterback after decades. Like, don't leave him on the sidelines.
Well, you want him to sit on the bench and learn, but you know, you don't have Favre in front of him.
I was going to say, learn from who? It's not like Brady is sitting there one more year or something, or Favre, like you said. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
So anyway, my fantasy football is off to a great start. I won both my first weeks.
There you go.
And I think I was the highest scoring in one league in my friend's league, and then my work league. I was one of the lowest scoring winners, but I still won. So I'm still in the top half of the bracket.
See, that's how you want it, though. You don't want to like blow your wad first week. You're done. You want to like just eke out a victory each. It doesn't matter. Just as long as you get it each week.
Well, that's what I did. So I did this thing where it was either last year or the year before. I was winning in the worst way possible. I was winning like with the lowest score, with a second to lowest score. And the only person scored lower was the guy that I was playing against. But, you know, it's a house of cards when you win like that, because your point total is just like dismal. And then you have no waiver pickups because you're high ranking. And then you get decimated with like, you know, bye weeks and,
well, that's
and injuries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then you're highly ranked. And you can't replace the players, and you end up falling, because once you get in the middle, once you get middling, then you're like 10th in the league because your, you know, points four is so low. So that's why I'm like, I don't care. I'll blow them. If I'm blowing people out, you know, at 160 points when we typically score 140, then I'm happy with that. I don't care. I'll blow my wad early and often.
That's all you got to do, man. It's all you got to do. You know, there's no time for refraction.
Anyway,
I didn't get into any leagues this year, and
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just wasn't feeling it this year. You know, I was just like, it is what it is. I have too much going on. I'm trying to, like, you know, do other house remodeling. I don't need to be trying to figure out my quarterback, and it's just too much sometimes. Too much.
Right. Yeah. The remodel doesn't fit in with the
exactly
fantasy football weekends.
No, I mean, you know, I figured the best way to watch football is the highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
And I cut out all the ads, all the commercials. I cut out all the time stoppages. You watch all the sacks, all the touchdowns, all the big plays. 4 minutes later, I saw the whole game.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's the way to go. It's the way to go. So other than that, I mean, I guess, man, I feel like it's too quick to jump into trailers, but let's do it. Usually we're doing our week for like 35 minutes.
Well, we've had like a little bit of consistency. We've done 2 weeks in a row, so we're back to it.
So we have nothing to talk about.
We don't have like months of vacation and trips to Hawaii and stuff. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. So, all right, Hawkeye. New series on D+.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a fan. You know, this looks cool.
It's amazing. It's going to be fun. It's a holiday. You know, I love that they play up the holiday, you know, the Christmas.
That's got to be one episode, though. They're not going to. The whole thing. You think the whole series is around the Christmas spirit? What?
I think it's all about like getting to the family for Christmas. It's like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, except it's
over like 10 episodes.
Hawkeye trying to get to, you know, his family for Christmas Day, you know?
See, understanding how trailers work, right? They're not linear. Yeah. They don't walk you through the steps of the movie or the TV series, whatever. They're disparate in how they present the information.
It's all about a vibe.
Exactly.
You know, it's just vibing for you.
My feeling was they're playing up like the Christmas episode of 10 episodes. They're playing up the Christmas episode in this trailer.
Right.
But you're saying all of them are going to be Christmas themed.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think all of them are going to be Christmas themed. I just think it's going to take place over either the week or the weeks leading up to Christmas. And there's going to be a setup of like, okay, we're all going to be together for Christmas. And then some inciting incident that's going to, you know, put the kids on a plane to mom. And then Hawkeye says, I'll be there for Christmas. And then he has to take out Ronan and do all this other stuff and still get there for Christmas.
And what's the release date?
Oh, isn't it October? November?
November 24th, it says.
There you go. Perfect.
Wednesday. Well, at least they're listening, but...
Oh, so it's six. It's going to be 6 weeks then. It'll do it right through.
Well, I would say last episode, maybe right around New Year's, or you think it's going to end on Christmas?
Well, what day of the week is Christmas?
Well, okay, maybe not on Christmas, but I mean right at the Christmas week.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like that.
Okay, let's see here. Christmas is dun 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 Saturday. So it's probably going to end the 22nd, right before Christmas. It could end the 29th, right between the holidays.
No, I think you want it to end right before. So
the 22nd.
What's the first?
Saturday.
No, what's the first episode? The premiere episode.
The first episode. You mean the date?
The date, sorry.
It looks like November 24th.
So maybe the last episode will be right after the 29th.
The 29th. And that makes sense, too. I mean, Christmas just ends. The new year begins, or well, not quite, but it's about to begin. So I could see because there's like that mid-holiday lull, you know, that people sometimes have. And this like...
That week off. Everybody takes that week off between Christmas and New Year.
Exactly. And this like gives you the right in the middle break of whoop, and it comes right back up again right there. It's like a tent pole between the two holidays.
All right, it looks like we have confirmation here that yes, the Hawkeye scheduled debut on November 24th and will consist of 6 episodes releasing weekly until the 29th.
There you go, man. We called it Trailer Junkies. Yeah. So no, this looks really cool. I like how he finds like another archer who's like a master archer.
Yeah.
And she just wants to play with like his cool toys, but they're also dangerous.
Right. And I know how you said that this is a non-linear storytelling, but I like the fact that they basically set up that this is not his daughter. And while he's a mentor to this young lady, it was really nicely set up that his daughter, they're having dinner at the restaurant and his daughter's there and she's talking, you know, and it's just a nice piece of trailer exposition that they're like, the executive somewhere said, well, we have to make sure that the audience doesn't think that the Ronan is his daughter, because, you know, that was kind of out in the ether of like theories about how it was going to play out when he was teaching his daughter how to shoot a bow and arrow in Endgame or Infinity War. Yeah.
Endgame. Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that it's not his daughter, too, because if he's trying to get to his family, mm-hmm. sometimes when you're doing stuff with your kids, obviously you want to do things with your kids, but it kind of muddies the waters because you have that emotional connection. And sometimes, like if it's an intern, an apprentice,
right,
it's a subordinate at work, you can maybe be a little bit more critical. You could say, like, let's say he's mentoring this woman here, and he's trying to, like, she's an amazing archer, but he's taking her to that next level of second best in the world because he's best. And it's, you know, giving that critical feedback and stuff where, like, you do that to your, you do that to a stranger and they're like, oh, okay, sure, I see that. You do that to your daughter and it's like, Dad! And it's one of those things where your kids just don't take the criticism good and proper.
Right. Not from you anyway.
That's what I mean.
You know, give the valet $5 and tell him to say it and then it'll be fine.
And they'll listen. No, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, 6 episodes, of course, it's a no-brainer. Gonna watch, gonna do the whole thing all the way through. I like the Hawkeye character. I like his character.
You do?
You don't.
I think it's fun how people poke fun at him a lot. You know, there's a whole Saturday Night Live skit about how he has very, like, the fact that he can shoot really well isn't as great a superpower as flying or having a hammer that can make you fly or being a god.
Thank you. That's the exact reason why I like him.
You like it. Okay.
So he's immortal. It's the same thing as Black Widow, right?
Right.
What does she do? She's like a sterilized kung fu master trained by the KGB. Right? She's nothing, but she's like awesome.
Yeah, she's not a super soldier. These aren't super soldiers. They're just skilled craftsmen that have honed their skills over time and practice.
Right. They are people who, well, it's like Delta Force, right? Or SEAL teams or something. I mean, they're people like me and you, you know, like they can bleed, everything is the same, but like their mind raises them to the next level. You know, like
right.
In many regard, they're superhuman, even though they're only human.
I got you. Yes.
And that's where like both Hawkeye and Black Widow, Iron Man's the same thing, really, but he's just a rich guy with an expensive suit.
But he did have the brains to put it together.
Well, yeah, but of course. But, I mean, his brain, another guy's eye-hand coordination, Black Widow's, like, martial arts skills.
Right.
Like, the brain is just one, or maybe not even the brain, the knowledge of how to do these things. Some are kinesthetic. Some are mathematical, so, you know, whatever it is, like everybody has their thing. And all you have to do is perfect that thing and you're like a superhero.
Like my Airtable skills.
Totally.
If we could do a superhero movie about my building Airtables, I think that would be awesome. Would you watch it, right?
It would be so good when you're like ready for bed, you can't sleep. And there's just Ted mousing around, click, mousing around, click. All right, man. You, season 3 on Netflix.
Yes.
So I'm assuming you saw 1 and 2.
Loved them, yes.
Okay, I haven't seen any of you.
You haven't seen me? I'm right here in front of you. I'm just a guy standing in front of another guy. Yeah. I want to hear what you think. What do you think about this?
Okay, I'll tell you what. How about this? I'll tell you what I think of the trailer and everything.
Yeah. I mean, it's season 3. It's not for you. It's for me as somebody who watched season 1 and 2. But I want to see how it can speak to you, maybe.
But you, as a fan,
yes,
explain it to me of why I need to become a fan.
Okay.
But before you do that, I think it is a cross between Dexter.
Okay, great.
And Santa Clarita Diet.
Okay, good. I think it hit its mark.
Okay.
I think that's exactly where I was feeling, how I was vibing as well.
So if I'm a Dexter fan, and I don't necessarily have to be a Santa Clarita Diet fan, but okay, sure. You might say I saw an episode. Mm-hmm. If I'm a Dexter fan, I might be into this, though.
If you're a Dexter fan, you definitely would be into this.
Okay.
It is not as righteous as Dexter, but it is as clever. I think I was into Dexter for 2 seasons. and then it kind of lost me like most things do. Ozarks is coming out. Ozarks is coming out, and I'm excited for it, and I hope it doesn't lose me in the first two episodes. Anyway, so yeah, Dexter is great because he's avenging, you know, killing bad people as a serial killer and all that stuff. Sorry for a spoiler about Dexter.
He's turned his serial killing desires into serial killing for good.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, in you, that's not so much the case. It's not for good. It is for pleasure. But, you know, you kind of have a, there is some sympathy for, oh man, I even forgot his name. It's been so long since I've seen seasons one and two. But yeah, so the season one and season two, it feels like they're building up to this, and I'm hoping that either this is the last season or maybe next one more season, and then we're out, you know, four and you're out. I think it's good. The first season, it was him by himself, and he's kind of that whole serial killer-ness, killeriness to it. Second season, you know, he's finding his way, and he's, you know, he's getting with his perfect other half kind of thing, you know? And this third season is a baby's here. So, like, what is he going to do with a baby boy, you know? What, how will he continue his Tom Peepery and Peeper Tomery? I don't know. and all of his keeping of tokens of different things that he like spies on and all that stuff. So he's a creepy dude, but he's very, very methodical, and he's very, very clever in how he does things. And I'm sure we talked about this when I watched the first season, but just to refresh you on it, I watched half of the first season, and it was something that Audrey wanted to watch, but it wasn't for her at that time when she was much younger.
It was her idea to watch it, or?
She had heard about it in social media and wanted to watch it. Her friends were watching it.
Okay.
So I said, let me watch it. I'll watch it. I'll screen it for you. And I watched a couple episodes. I was like, nope, you can't watch it, right? And then by the middle of this...
Too much murder, too much sex, all the above?
A little too much sex, a little bit too much of just like violence for violence sake kind of thing. But halfway through the first season, something won me over with the idea that this could be a cautionary tale for young women in this century. You know, like he would kill women, but then have their cell phones so that they could say that I'm going to Europe. And basically all of her girlfriends thought that she ghosted them and just went to Europe and lives in Europe somewhere without cutting all ties, you know, but she's actually like,
oh, that's weird,
you know, buried in the backyard of the apartment building or whatever, you know? So it was very funny. So the first season, I think, is New York. The second season is LA.
Is it supposed to be a comedy?
No. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. Like, Dexter has some comedic moments to it. And when you say Santa Clarita Diet, Santa Clarita Diet is very farcical. And I say this, I think You is the darkest of the three.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely darker than Santa Clarita Diet. And I think, you know, depending on how Dexter turned, it's darker than even Dexter. But as far as a cautionary tale, I was just like, you know, Audrey, here, we'll watch, you know, half of these episodes together. You know, I'll fast forward through some stuff. And then I'll show you, like, look, this dude has her phone, you know, drugged her and, you know, all this stuff to...
Oh, man.
Scare her straight a little bit to be like, look, don't trust... you know, social media so much, you know. And now she's grown up and she's, you know, 15, and, you know, she's watching it on her own. So we kind of watch it together and we're talking about it. And Anne was like, what are you guys talking about? Are they like, nothing that you would want to hear about or want to discuss as far as like TV, you know?
So who is You? Is it like You is his wife or something, or like... How does that... I don't understand the
pronoun?
Like the premise of the title. Yeah, or
the premise of the pronoun.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying. Like, who's it geared towards? Like, who is You aimed at? The name You.
Yeah, so You is aimed at the audience. You know, he does speak to you as the audience, and he is basically telling the story of his life and his the things that he runs into and the people.
So is there fourth wall breaking or?
No, it's mostly in VO. It's mostly in the, you know, his
okay,
his voiceover. But yeah, so, you know, it's his name is Joe.
Kind of narrating a scene or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like he'll open it up and it's, you know, and he'll talk to. So it's the way that a peeping Tom would talk about somebody that he's peeping on, you know, peeping at on. I don't know.
Peeping. Yeah. Who he's peeping.
So who he's peeping. So if he's in the wind, if he's in the tree staring through the window, it's as if he's talking to the woman, you know, and as he's like combing through her social media, he's like talking to her and he says, you know, he talks about you. And it creates this intimacy that only he as a peeping Tom is privy to. And then when they finally interact, various things happen from, you know, women falling in love with him and other women like, you know, rebuffing him. And it all kinds of ends up, you know, in bad places, regardless of what happens there, you know.
So he's a charismatic serial killer.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Charming. Charming, they keep saying.
Charming.
And charming obsessive.
Yeah, it sounds intriguing.
I would give the first season a couple of episodes and try it out. See if you like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. If it doesn't catch you by the first two, three episodes, I think it won't. I think that's it, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Maybe we'll do that. Yeah, it's just I don't want to get bogged down in another. What are they, about 8-10 episodes, something like that?
Oh, I think they're 10 episodes, yeah.
10 episodes, yeah.
10 episodes a season.
In about an hour?
48 minutes, yeah, 42 to 48 minutes.
Okay, yeah, right there, what everything else is. All right, last one of the night is Nightmare Alley.
Yeah, with all of this TV, all of the streaming, I thought we'd do a movie.
Amazing. They're still making those things, I hear.
And not Benicio del Toro, Guillermo del Toro.
Dude, this looks amazing, like as far as acting core.
Oh, yeah.
Directing. I mean, it's like a freakish circus that looks well done, but I have no idea what the story is going to be about.
Right. It's a freak show, but we are not shown the monster or the freak of it. The cast of characters is first rate.
Oh man.
Like you said, the cinematography, when he's sitting in that room and it's burning around him, I was like, oh, that's so beautifully done, you know, and just the artistry of the tableau that he uses, the temple, you know, the palette that he uses of color and darkness and shadow and light. It's amazing. He's an amazing filmmaker. And, you know, and these are those film, he's one of those filmmakers now that he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And when he chooses to do something, you kind of take notice because he doesn't have to do anything. And he does what he wants to do. And the pleasure that he takes in making the art that he makes comes through in the work and is showcased in this trailer. So it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing looks great. The color palette, all of it. I mean, you know, Willem Dafoe and Bradley Cooper, Cate Blanchett, you know, just to name a couple. But it looks awesome, man. I mean, the acting core is solid. I want to watch it. I mean, I don't know anything about it, but the acting core, like you said, the directing, the whole circus aspect, I don't even know what this thing's going to be about, but it's just the acting, how should I put it? Just the overall feel of what you get from it is so intriguing and draws me in to the extent that I want to know more. Like,
right.
I need to know more.
The mystery of the story is what brings you in, you know, how the trailer works on you.
Exactly. Exactly. Great way to put it, because there is that mystery to the story and like why the circus and everything. I mean, I don't know.
The one bone that I have to pick with this, and it obviously it's very, very minor. But like I told you, I was, you know, at dinner tonight, the family was saying, what trailers are you doing tonight? because I, you know, we normally put it on the family chat, you know, your family, my family, and we discuss it a little amongst us. And I told you that with Nightmare Alley and you, like we shared Hawkeye globally, but those, the last two I didn't share with all of us because they're kind of both mislabeled. Like the one that's called You, just by its title, you already said you don't know what it's about or what you're going to get into. And when you see like the birth of a son, you don't know it's going to be about a serial killer and this obsessive psychopath, you know? Well, not psychopath. What is it? There's a specific...
Sociopath.
Sociopath, yes.
Yeah, sociopath.
Definite sociopath. So that's the thing. And then Nightmare Alley, I was like, oh, Anne would love this movie, but...
But the name is off.
It's title. So I sat at the dinner table and I said, we're doing You and Hawkeye and Nightmare Alley. And she goes, oh, well, thanks for not sharing that with me. I would never want to see that movie. And I'm like, but this is a movie that's right up your alley. It's like Water for Chocolate or Elephant and, you know, Water for Elephants.
Water for Elephants, yeah.
You know, it has that beautiful film cinematic quality to it.
It's right there too. I mean, as one who reads, one who has an art degree and all the stuff, uh-huh. I mean, she should know more than anybody to not judge a book by its cover, right? To not right. judge art based on like a name or a style. I mean, you have right. to, you have to drink it in, you know, you have to experience, like so much art is meant to be experienced, not just looked at, you know?
Right.
You go to the Louvre or something and the Mona Lisa or many of them, some of the best parts of an art museum or some of the best parts of art, it's like music, right? What makes music wonderful aren't the notes, but the spaces between the notes.
Right.
And it's those gaps that make things beautiful.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of see a movie like this, right? You have those gaps, those spaces, the scenes where no one's talking, but everything is happening or whatever, where like the fire thing, whatever that was going on, you know? And so I think those are the things that make beauty and make great art and everything.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. We're Marvel fans here. We talk yeah. about it all the time. We watch all the movies and I mean, another one tonight, Hawkeye, right?
Right.
They don't have space between the notes. It's constantly like going the whole time. Right.
Right. Right.
They're wonderful movies. They're fun, but I wouldn't call them art, and you don't slow down to drink in what you're seeing or
yeah.
doing, experience. It's just, it's go time, and like my subwoofer's blowing up the house.
Yeah, I mean, this one plays with the shadow and light, and I think that's part of what you're feeling is this.
Exactly, exactly.
The light play of shadow and light. And it feels like, I miss this part, it feels like a noir, you know? It's a film noir.
100%.
So,
yeah.
To put film noir...
Like neo-noir.
Yeah. But even classical, it's, you know, it
okay.
It has, it's from the time, you know? Like, to me, neo-noir is always, like, at a different angle. This is, like, classic... noir, you know, we'll see how it plays out, but yeah, he's an amazing director, and I can't wait to see this, and hopefully we'll see it in the theater, you know.
Do we know the release date?
December 2nd.
So that's coming up here in a few months.
Yeah
I mean, I definitely want to watch. So all right, man.
Awesome.
Very cool. And speaking of watch, what have you been watching?
Well, let's see. Today, Bryce and I watched Nona. Have you seen Nona?
Nona? No, but it sounds like an Italian grandmother.
Nona is a Spark short. It's a Pixar Spark short that just came out recently.
Okay.
And Bryce just found it and started watching it. And I said, oh, start it over. I want to watch that with you. I saw the...
Like short, what, 20 minutes or something?
No, even shorter. I think it's like 7 or 10 minutes or something.
Oh, okay.
And it's a grandmother... is trying to watch a wrestling match, and her granddaughter's dropped off at her doorstep and kind of messes up her SummerSlam viewing, you know. But they kind of bond over it, so it's heartwarming, heartfelt, And then, you know, it's just it's amazing how Pixar has this new outlet for the people that created shorts. You know, before you'd have to, you know, get the short on in front of the theatrical release, and then you have like all the shorts tied specifically to theatrical releases, you know. So now with Disney Plus, they have this whole audience and a whole, you know, delivery method for as many shorts as they can come up with and create, which are far, you know, less labor intensive than a feature. And by less labor intensive, who knows, it probably took a year, 2 years to 5 years to do these shorts that are like 10 minutes long, because it just takes forever for animation. So it's a great little short. We're continuing to watch What If. Are you watching What If?
What If? I haven't heard of What If.
Oh man, you might like What If. It's a take on all the Marvel stories, and it's what if, you know, Star-Lord was actually Black Panther. If Black Panther was picked up and became Star-Lord.
Okay.
Or what if Captain America couldn't do it and Agent Carter had to become Captain Britain? So it's all these alternate universes and things that happen in alternate universes, and they just do it for one episode. So sometimes, you know, it has a conclusion and it does what it needs to do and it's encapsulated, but sometimes it leaves it open-ended, and I can't tell whether the family likes the open-endedness or not. They kind of feel unresolved, you know, if they don't close up the story. So that's interesting. And then, last but definitely not least, Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah.
Are you caught up? I mean, not tonight, but last week? Man City?
Yeah, we finished last week, and he kind of dropped the bomb why he's all like anxious and everything. And
yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
What? I was sobbing nonstop. You know, it had this classic trio of storylines. You know, it had the coming together of Ted Lasso and the therapist. You know, they had to come together to terms to be honest with each other. And then it had the classic coming together of Rebecca, you know, with her banter partner who happens to be the young ball player. Oh, man, what's his name?
Sam.
Sam, yeah. With Sam. How do you feel about that relationship?
Better phrase the question. I'm not sure what you mean by that. Like, because she's so much older than he is, or?
Well, there's a lot. There's a power structure where she's his ultimate boss, you know? So the older thing, I kind of throw that out, right? Let's throw age out because.
Well, I think she crosses the line. Because if you think about where he is with it, he really has nothing to lose.
Right.
Right. So if it goes south, okay, he gets traded to a new team or something. And, you know, it's tabloid fodder or whatever it might be. But she's like the owner of this football club. And if it goes south, then, you know, like, let's say, for example, he winds up getting a starting position over, you know, another guy, or he winds up, you know, looking at salary. Does he get paid more money now, you know?
Right, right, right.
Like, there's a lot of things that could come into it that could have a conflict.
This is the whole reason that corporations don't allow this kind of fratronization, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, you're looking at these ethical dilemmas that could play out and things that would, you know, cause conflict within an organization. Yeah, the age thing I don't think is that big of a deal.
I like the way it progressed over the episode, because it gave you a way to disarm all the things that you could say bad about it. It stripped away, you know, if they met up at the bar and they had that one not date, or if she tried to walk out, right? She called herself a pedophile, or what's the British term for pedophile? I don't know. However she said it sounded much nicer than pedophile. But she calls herself a pedophile and she tries to leave. And of course, Sam kind of begs her to stay, says they can just still have dinner as friends. And then did you notice that he drank water at dinner?
Yeah.
And I thought that was very, very very appropriate. And, you know, it showed that she wasn't taking advantage of him, kind of, in a way.
Well, and I liked the scene when he said, hey, we're here, let's just have dinner.
Right.
To me, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, insofar as, you know what, hey, we kind of let each other down this path unknowingly.
Yeah, right.
Like, it is what it is. I get where you're coming from. I respect that. Let's just, we're here and we're hungry. Let's just eat and we'll just call it a night and be done with it, right?
Yeah.
If it continued down that path and then the next...
That evening, yeah.
Or the next episode or whatever, and he goes, or she goes and says, oh my God, it was Sam. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, we're, you know, we had a nice time and nice dinner, but, you know, we understand the boundaries or something. And then it moved on to some other story arc.
Right.
I think I would have preferred that more than... Now they're the getting end of the it episode. On. Yeah. And he's like, you know, and now they're just getting all busy, you know?
Well, I don't know. I appreciated the way that it played out because, you know, the whole texting behind the banter filter of not knowing who it is and having your hidden name. And then she decides that she's going to just text him out in the open and just text him, you know, like it was a progression. And then the boss moved to be like there, to be there, but then to give her the address and for her to actually go through the motions of I'm going to go over there and, you know, and see what happens, you know, and then to open the door and Sam's right there. It just it hits so many beats throughout that scene that I was just like, oh, it was very, very well crafted television. And then my favorite of the three coming togethers is, of course, Jamie Tart and Roy.
Or his dad.
Well, no. So it's
his dad was like the catalyst.
His dad is the catalyst.
Right, exactly.
But it's about Roy Kent and Jamie Tart bearing the hatchet and becoming the mentor-mentee relationship that Jamie Tart always wanted from Roy Kent.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And he never knew why he didn't get it. And he didn't know how to act towards Roy to entice the relationship that he wanted. So he did what he was taught by his father, which was be an asshole to everyone around you. You know what I mean? You do as you do. And for him to have it out in that public way and just for, and it was just beautiful mastery of like chess being played, like, he's, you know, he punches his dad to the ground. Coach Beard walks his dad out and just it gives them that space that Roy Kent can just walk over silently and let Jamie Tart hug him and hug him back. And in that hug, there's so much that's just released between these two over being teammates and rivals as teammates and then rivals on different teams and then coming together and then being a coach and a player asking for coaching directly from somebody that you looked up to for your whole life playing ball. And then now we're going to get that. You know, it's like this release. And of all three of these coming togethers, the Roy Kent Jamie Tart takes the cake because it's been brewing this whole series.
Yeah, it's been brewing their rival. Not even, I wouldn't say hatred. I don't think they necessarily hated each other, but it was.
No, it's a rivalry. Yeah.
It's that rivalry where one guy doesn't want to be shown up by the other.
Yeah.
You know, and he needs to be the better man. And, you know, yeah, I agree. It was so far this season has progressed to the extent that it's improved greatly from where it began, I think, you know.
Yeah. It's crescendoed, and I am very interested to see where they go from here.
Well, there's
here,
two episodes like, left.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Then we got to wait. Although you'll probably watch it five times, and then...
I don't have the bandwidth anymore.
Anything else you've been watching?
Billions. I'm back on Billions.
Billions. Okay.
Back on my treadmill watching Billions again. I'm only in season two, so I have a lot of treadmill running and weightlifting. It's harder to weightlift to that because you kind of want to look up.
I can't watch when I'm doing that. It's like when I'm on the bike and when I'm not going super hard, I can watch.
So when I'm on the treadmill, I'll watch and then sometimes I'll turn on a fantasy football podcast or something while
there
I'm
you go.
Lifting weights to switch it up.
That's motivation for weightlifting.
But yeah, so that's it. Have you watched anything else? What are you guys watching?
You turn us on to this last week, Murder in the Building.
Oh, good. Oh, you got that.
Yeah, so we're three episodes in.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot less of a comedy than you made it sound.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, you know, yeah, it has Nathan Lane and, you know, Martin Short, obviously, and Steve Martin and everything. And, it, you know, it's funny. There's funny.
Has comedic moments. Yeah.
Yeah, there's comedic moments for sure. What I would say, though, is it's more drama than comedy, but the comedy, it's like there's like comedic snippets for relief.
Okay. But for me, it's more balanced than that. I think it's like 50-50.
Well, you've been watching so much You, anything is comedy after that, right?
Yeah, maybe. But I don't know. Maybe it's just these characters that even just like Steve Martin not talking or just looking is like comedic to me. Like he has a comedic look to him. I love his bassoonist love affair is amazing. I love that angle.
Right.
And he plays that little harpsichord. What's he play? The little Constantina. He plays the little accordion.
Oh yeah, the little accordion. That's right.
Concertina, I think it's called.
During his like little podcast episode things.
Yeah. And Anne's like, does he really pay that? And I said, yeah, I think he's this hugely musical guy. I know he plays the banjo, and I'm pretty sure he plays that accordion thing.
Oh, yeah. No, he totally does. I mean, a lot of his old stand-up used to be with musical instruments and such. Yeah, no, he's...
Yeah. Yeah, like the banjo was definitely showcased in all of it.
Right.
So, I don't know. I love it.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, I think you're caught up, right?
Well, we watched three episodes. I don't know how many there are released yet.
There's either three or four. And it what sucks is that they're doing the slow trickle every Tuesday. So
oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
So we can only watch now. We're caught up, and we're like, oh, we watched one episode a day at lunch, and then you know we tuned in on Wednesday, and we're like, oh, we're done. Oh no, I think
it's not there.
Yeah, I think we're five episodes. So yeah, so you haven't seen Sting yet.
We saw yes, we have seen Sting,
but just in the elevator
when it closes out the scene, and he's singing he's telling
the dog not to stand so close to him.
Don't stand so close to me.
Oh well, you're in for a treat. The whole next episode is called Sting.
Oh nice. okay
so yeah.
Yeah, so no, we have seen Sting.
So yeah, you're about two episodes behind. You have two more episodes before you have to wait till Tuesdays.
Yeah, we'll probably be cut up tomorrow night then, I would guess.
Cool.
Because we'll probably do it then. And then Lego Masters Finale, which I am so glad it's finally over. Sometimes you're just like, oh my God, end already. You know, it was cool, though. I got to admit, it was cool.
Right.
The way they build and everything. And it was funny, though, like the ending of this one, you could tell it was COVID because there was no one, like when these guys won the thing, you know, these brothers won, there was no like the cheering was at a minimum because there was like no one there. You know,
oh, man.
Yeah, like family and all this stuff. They let no one there. So it was like really quiet, you know, kind of a thing. And like the final moments, you're just like, wow, this is so sad.
It was like early football and basketball before they just decided, well, we'll put some canned like cheering and stuff in here.
Yeah. I mean, and they did like so. In the first season, they had the families like on set, you know,
right?
There was a lot of people on set and everything. This year they did like a video recording of the families, not even like a Zoom thing, like a video recording of the family saying way to go, you know, and
good job.
Yeah. And then it ends and like they were just streamers blue and they're like, woohoo.
Ugh, it was just done. You know?
It really was anticlimactic. It really was bad.
That's too bad.
And when I say it was bad, I don't mean it was like, I'm sure they were super excited to win and everything.
Yeah.
But to not have the family in the audience and everybody cheering for you and stuff, like,
yeah,
it was just, yeah, it just took the air out of the room.
I mean, the beginning of football season last year, it was like training camp. It was like,
exactly.
Why am I watching this like it's a real game? This is training camp. This is where they pull that team that's close to you and they pull them into training camp and they play a little pickup game. You know, there's nobody in the stands. There's coaches on the sideline and that's it. And it has that empty hollowness to it. That 12th man is important in all walks of even like you're saying in that.
Well, and even, yeah, and even when, like, if the ref makes a bad call and the stands are filled with people like shouting at the ref, it yeah. gives the coach more gravitas to go yell at the ref.
Right. Listen to these people. They saw it on the Jumbotron too.
Exactly. But when the stadium is silent, like, yelling at the ref is just too personal.
It's like you're doing Little League and you're yelling at the ref in Little League.
But even there, you have like moms and stuff around, you know. But yeah, it's weird. It's like surreal, you know, like to have these sporting or entertaining moments or competitive moments taking place with championship rounds taking place, and there's no one there to cheer for you.
No audience, yeah.
And then another one, speaking of cheering.
Yeah.
So I sent you this in a text, and I want you to watch it.
Okay.
And Untold, have you heard of Untold on Netflix?
Oh yeah. Which one, though? Isn't it a...
Untold is like ESPN's 30 for 30, but it's Netflix's version, yeah. Right? Untold Crime and Penalties.
Okay.
So there's this team called the Trashers. I don't want to give away too much because I want you to watch it.
Okay.
But it has it all. Sports, championships, mafia, crime, pro wrestling.
Oh, my God.
The Mighty Ducks. I mean, it is insane. It's got to be, bar none, one of the top hockey documentaries of all time.
Okay.
And I'd even go out on a limb and say one of the top sporting documentaries of all time.
Wow.
Probably not as good as like The Last Dance or something, because that was a number of episodes over a long series. And such. But for a one-off an hour 26, you know, like right around 90-ish minutes.
Okay.
It was so good. It was, I mean, it's funny. It's just unbelievable. It is unbelievable. So watch it.
Okay.
Next week, we'll talk about it. We might have a surprise guest.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we might have a surprise guest making a cameo.
All right. I will watch it. I put it in my list. I logged in. I clicked on it, my list. It's cool. Yeah, it looks good.
Oh, dude, it's amazing. It is amazing. So you just have to watch, man. It's the things that go down, it's like how does this even happen?
Right.
You know?
Awesome. I can't wait.
All right, we'll talk next week about that one.
Awesome.
Yeah, other than that though, I mean, that's really all we've been up to. Let's see. Murder, Lego, Lasso. And Untold. Perfect. Got it.
Done. Check the boxes.
That's it. Check the boxes. So how'd your beer finish?
My beer is still finishing.
So is mine.
Again, it is warming very nicely.
What was yours? A pint? Yours was a pint?
Mine was, yeah. What is that? What's a pint?
16?
Yeah, it looks like a 16.
So it finished good, clean. Is it still hot where you guys are? So
It is still hot, yeah.
Your room is warm?
My room is warm. It was actually cool today during the day. I had to turn my AC off. It was getting too cold.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like 77, but the kids have told me now that Alexa and the weather in general just lies. They just lie. So they don't trust it anymore.
We have the Weather Channel, and there's AccuWeather.
Right.
And Frank turned me on to AccuWeather because he got tired of all like the non-weather stories on the Weather Channel. So he's like, how is this? It'd be some news story about, like, it doesn't even matter. It's just some news story about whatever. Mm-hmm. And his thing is, I'm coming here for weather. This is not weather. So he started with AccuWeather. Okay. So I'm like, you know what? I'll jump on AccuWeather too if you think it's better.
Right.
So I'm on AccuWeather. Well, I've named it in AccuWeather.
Uh-oh.
I can't tell you how many days I leave on the bike. Oh, it's beautiful out. Boom, downpour. You know, and as one who rides his bicycle to work every day, I need to know what the weather is. Like, I can't be like, huh, weather was wrong. Turn on the windshield wipers. No, it's like, huh, weather was wrong. I'm fucking soaked.
I'm soaked.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, the reason that Frank and Barbara use it mostly is for air quality.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
They check the air quality. He was even complaining the other day because the air quality said something. It was low air quality. And he didn't go on the bike ride. But it basically cleared up and he didn't recheck it. And then he could have gone on his bike ride, you know?
Oh, I got you.
So,
yeah.
So I think that's the main reason they do it. But I think, yeah, again, they he was complaining about it. I just think it's, you know, it's not the science that everybody says it is, you know?
Yeah, no, I know. Usually what I do is I look at Weather Channel, I look at InAccuWeather, and then I go to Weather Underground, and it's like an average of the three.
Don't you have a bike poncho, though? Don't you have like a little clear thing you put on there?
Well, I put a cover over if the boys are on it. But if it's raining and I have to go somewhere, I bring a rain jacket and I have rain pants and such.
Okay.
But I don't typically bring those on a daily basis.
Okay.
Yeah. So, if there's a threat of rain and it's not raining, I'll just pack them and I'll wear them home if I need to or something.
Right.
But yeah, there's been.
But you're saying there's no threat of rain when you look these up and it still rains and you're caught in it from time to time.
Yeah. Like it'll say, or maybe I'm not even caught in it. Maybe it says partly sunny, mostly cloudy, however they want to word it. I don't care.
Right.
But, you know, partly sunny, winds out of the southwest, 7 miles an hour, percent of rain, 7%. And I'm sitting in my office. It's 3:15. I leave work, say 3:45, whatever, just, you know, whatever that is, just making it up. It's 3:15 and it's like, it may as well be like, you know, Hurricane Ida or something.
Oh no.
And you're thinking to yourself, what? And then you check and the radar shows the storm moving in.
The band, yeah.
The band moving in. But then when you look at like hourly, it'll just say like partly sunny. And you're like, you guys don't even make sense here.
Well, I'm looking at it right now and it says indoor humidity 72%. I'm like, how do you know how humid it is inside?
They have indoor humidity?
Indoor humidity. Outdoor humidity is 87%.
How do they know what it is inside?
Indoor humidity 72%. That's what I'm saying. How do they know this?
Every house must be different.
That's what I would think, but
I mean, if I just got out of a hot shower, my humidity's probably higher.
Right. And if my AC's on, the humidity's probably lower.
Exactly. You know? Like, I don't get it, man.
That indoor humidity.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, hey, I had a good night. Lots to watch. Lots we've been watching. And I got all these books I got to start getting through now. Jeez.
All right. You got to give a book report now every week.
Oh, man. Come on. It's like seventh grade all over again. Yeah. No, I had a good time tonight, Ted. And we will see you next week for episode 171. Be sure to tune in.
Awesome. All right. Talk to you later.
Later.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.